Heavenly Father, as we come now to hear your word, we pray that we would encounter your living word, the word who abides with us, who walks alongside us. We pray in his name. Amen. Journeys can often shape us in ways that we don't always expect. Rarely they run in straight lines from A to B. Most of the journeys twist and turn, include their ups and downs, times when the path feels smooth and familiar, and others when it feels perhaps uncertain or even risky. Some journeys we choose, others are forced upon us. But in almost every case, it's not simply the destination that matters. The journey itself is often just as important. It does something to us. It forms us, it challenges us, it deepens us. And by the time we arrive, we're not quite the same people who first set out. I want to think today about what we could call the journey to joy. It does feel like a journey that's so important today when there's so much going on in the world that seems to want to suck the joy out of life. And maybe on a personal level, you long for more joy in your life, something deeper than just fleeting happiness, something that can endure whatever the road throws at us, wherever it takes us, and ride the ups and downs that come our way. We know, we were thinking over the past week or so, that Jesus' followers had a multitude of different experiences that first Easter. There was often fear, there was definitely grief, bewilderment, utter confusion, hesitancy and doubt. There was joy, but it took a while for some of them to get there. Joy wasn't instantaneous for many of them. It unfolded over time. It was definitely a journey. Puts me in mind of someone I knew when I lived in London, Maggie, who went to the church that I went to, and she'd had cancer, she'd had breast cancer, but she had been cleared of that, she'd been healed, and she felt guilty because she still felt really down and low. It wasn't an instantaneous, oh great, everything's great in life now, and she felt bad that she didn't suddenly feel joy. It was definitely a journey for her. And for our two disciples in our reading this morning, it was literally a journey, a 7-mile hike back from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus, a walk that begins in confusion and disappointment and grief, but ends in joy. So what changed? What turned their weary trudge into a journey of joy? Obviously, the answer is Jesus, because it's always the answer to a question like that, isn't it? But let's explore some of the ways in which Jesus leads them on that journey. Firstly, we see that Jesus joins them on the journey. They're walking away from Jerusalem, away from the place where their hopes seem to have died. And yet, without them even realizing it, Jesus comes alongside them. Sometimes we don't often notice him, that he's right there in the midst of our pain. And he doesn't wait for them to find their way back. He walks alongside them, giving them a chance to get it off their chest, to tell him how they're feeling, how they're honestly feeling. That matters because none of us make the journey alone. Jesus doesn't sit and watch or call out instructions from the sidelines. Neither is he like the person we ask for directions who says, well, I wouldn't start from here. Jesus meets us where we are and walks alongside us, even carrying us sometimes. And Jesus then takes the time to carefully explain to his fellow travellers how the whole story of God points to what has just happened, how Scripture had foretold not just the coming of the Messiah, but that the Messiah would suffer before being glorified. Their journey to joy involved remembering, or perhaps even learning for the first time or understanding for the first time, God's story of redemption and where they were within that story at that particular time. The journey to joy involves getting to really know God's promises and then trusting God's promises, even when our journey may not quite have reached the full outworking of those promises yet. There's a saying, isn't there? It'll be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, then it's not the end. And they needed to remember that. The thing to remember here is that the resurrection had already happened. They might have not grasped that, but it was a done deal. It would become a reality. It was accomplished. Even if that new reality was still being worked out in the lives of those two disciples, they were still on that journey. But they were beginning to have a sense that hope lay ahead as they trusted that God was faithful to the promises he'd made. And isn't that often true for us? God is faithful, his promises are real, but we're still learning to live in the reality of them. We're still on that journey. Part of what the disciples were beginning to understand was that suffering didn't mean failure. It didn't mean that God's promises and his purposes were not being fulfilled and worked out. They'd been unable to comprehend how the Messiah could possibly suffer and die. That wasn't their understanding of who the Messiah was. And so Jesus' death had seemed like utter defeat. His mission had failed. It was all over. Jesus showed them that suffering is not failure, and it doesn't have the final word, but it is part of the journey. I've spoken before about the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is so often about what's happening to me now in this moment. And it's often about an absence of suffering or difficulty or challenges. But joy looks beyond the present to what is still yet to come. It isn't determined by my present circumstances, so that even in the midst of suffering, we can know joy. And knowing God's promises helps us to raise our eyes above what's happening in the here and now, and look to the promises that he's made. Gives us a different perspective, trusting that he is with us, beside us, on the journey. Even though it may take us through some dark places, can help us to know joy, even when the going is tough. So knowing Jesus is beside us, knowing and trusting God's word and his promises can help us on our journey to joy. And then the disciples invite Jesus in. As they approach their village, they urge him to stay and eat with them. Yes, they've walked along with him, but now they invite him into an even more sort of intimate place, their home. Jesus has opened the scriptures to them. He's appealed, if you like, to their understanding, their minds, their heads, but recognition doesn't come until they invite him in and draw really close to him and share that deeper fellowship with him. And then something shifts and they recognize him. Our journey to joy involves truly recognizing Jesus and discovering the joy of sharing our lives with him. Joy is relational. It's not just about understanding truths in our heads, it's about knowing a person in our hearts. The journey to joy involves not only hearing about Jesus, but drawing closer to him, welcoming him into the center of our lives. The exact moment of recognition for the two disciples occurs when Jesus breaks the bread. That must have been a very powerful moment, perhaps suggesting maybe they'd been there with the other disciples on the night before Jesus died, or that they've certainly heard about what happened and what Jesus had done. And we're reminded that drawing near to Jesus is a two-way invitation. We can invite him in because he's already invited us. We respond to his invitation to draw near and find he's not just our companion on the journey, but our food for the journey. He may have disappeared from their sight at that point, but now they know God's promises have been fulfilled. Their Lord is risen, and he will always be with them wherever their journey takes them next. And initially, it takes them right back to Jerusalem, back another 7 miles, back where they came from, except they're not really back where they started. Jerusalem is not the same as the place that they left. It's no longer a place of death and defeat. It's a place of resurrection and new life and new joy. Jerusalem hasn't changed, though, but they have. Our journeys may not be linear. There are ups and downs and maybe the odd wrong turn or two. And sometimes perhaps when we feel like we're going backwards or ending up back exactly where we started, except we never really go back to exactly the same place, because we are shaped and changed and transformed as we journey with Jesus and invite him into the heart of our lives, learning to trust God's promises, despite or maybe even because of trials and suffering. And as joy takes shape, everything else is different too. I wonder how your journey is going at the moment. Maybe it feels like a hard trek. I think it's really helpful to see the different Easter experiences playing out in the disciples' lives. It can help us feel that somehow in there, our own experiences are kind of reflected and can find a home. We kind of relate to some of what they have experienced. And as we see the disciples' journey from confusion and fear and disappointment and pain and grief towards understanding and hope and joy, we can have that hope that we can make that journey too, whatever we're facing. The resurrection has happened. It's reality. What difference that will make and how that will be worked out in each of our own lives is the journey that we're all on. But we do know it will change us, and we do know it will lead to joy. Amen.